What's up, Shitpost listeners? This is Jared Holt back at you with another episode of the show. On this episode, I'm talking to Nick Letzko. He is a wonderfully talented musician making really dystopian music, and I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to chatting. Before we get started, some housekeeping. I always have housekeeping at the beginning of the show, but this is a little different, so you might not want to skip over it this time. When this episode drops, as you're listening to it now, this will be the last episode that comes out in December. I'm moving across the country to... And that means that I have to put things into boxes, put them on a truck, take them out of the truck. They're still in boxes. Got to take them out of the boxes, set things up. So the normal ways that I would normally record an episode, like on the go or something, aren't going to be available to me because they're going to be in these damn cardboard boxes that are all around my house right now. But when I come back, things will hopefully be better than ever. I'm going to have a new office studio space that I think is going to be able to facilitate some fun stuff, including maybe some live shows. Keep your eyes peeled out for that. And I'm also hoping maybe it'll put me in a position after this move where I can maybe produce more content. Maybe not every single week, but something more regular. So after this episode, I'll catch you next year. We're going to do a call-in show. If everything goes smooth, we're going to test like a live episode for that call-in show. Keep your eyes peeled. Sign up for the Substack, even the free edition. I'll be sending out information about that, a call-in line, etc., etc. Speaking of that Substack, it's shtpost.substack.com, which I might be renaming sometime next year. If you have any ideas for that, let me know. But if you go there, you can get any updates on the show. All your episodes will go straight to your email inbox as well as your feeds, so you don't miss one. And if you support the show for either a monthly or annual rate, it helps keep the lights on around here, and you'll get access to bi-weekly newsletters. That's twice a month newsletters, cover everything from MAGA rappers to, you know, catching up with weird right-wing personalities after they've fallen out of the spotlight. There's a whole archive of stuff there, and you can get it for a very modest amount of money. It might not seem like much on your side, but it helps the show out a lot. And you've heard me talk enough at this point, so let's get on to my conversation with Nick Letzko. Joining Shitpost now, I have Nick Letzko. He's a musician and the replacement anchor for Chris Cuomo on CNN after a bombshell of allegations dropped. Nick, what's up?
How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. You know, on this show, I talk to a lot of like people like myself, right? Kind of deep in the weeds of like weird internet shit, doing research or journalism or whatever, but I wanted to have you on because, like, in the mix, I, like, anytime you drop a new song or, like, video online, I, like, rush to go watch it right away and try to escape work for a few minutes.
Well, thanks, man.
Yeah, so, you know, let's just dive right in here. The song that I played as we introed into this interview was the first one that I heard that you did, and I didn't even know it was you at the time. It's the Alex Jones indie folk song. But before we go there, you know, let's talk a little bit about you. Like, what's your backstory? How'd you get into music? And, you know, how did you start doing these songs, you know, with different sort of political influences in them?
Yeah, man. Well, I feel like it's a very long, convoluted story that I always try to condense as much as possible, and I do a really bad job. But basically, I've been a musician forever. I played in bands in middle school and high school and recorded a few albums. I went to Middle Tennessee State University for commercial songwriting. I guess I just kind of ignorantly like saw like songwriting in like the title of a degree and was like, yeah, I want to do that. But then it was basically like how to get your songs on like pop country radio, and it's basically just like listen to the top 10 and repeat whatever they're doing just enough to like change just enough to where you don't get sued for infringement. And it just like wasn't anything I was remotely interested in. 4 years later, I'm graduated with a degree that like is pretty meaningless in like the real world. So it was like, okay, if I want to do anything with music, I have to like hustle and get creative. And that started as just like, you know, like learning how to work Pro Tools and recording my own albums and playing friggin' coffee shops and restaurants and bars and basically any place that would let me play and, you know, living off tips. And I say living off tips. I was also living with my parents. Any money I made was just going back into trying to grow this career. And as I'm doing that, I'm also online, and I'm a big fan of Tim Heidecker and Vic Berger. I feel like this is right around the time Vic was finding his comedic voice and Super Deluxe was first launching. And, you know, this was, I guess, early 2015, right, as, like, the 2016 election started kicking off. And Vic and Tim did an election special, I guess, in 2016. I was following along. They were doing, like, Facebook Live updates and, like, Snapchat updates and stuff. And I was watching, and I just, like, had this impulse to write this really short, like, 15-second-long theme song for the election special. And I tweeted at them and basically said, hey, I don't know if you guys need a theme song, but I went ahead and made one anyways. And Tim almost immediately retweeted it and was like, this is amazing. And then not long after that, a representative from Super Deluxe reached out and were like, hey, can we actually use this as like the for real theme song? And that was a guy named Jason Richards, who was a producer at Super Deluxe, who I went on to work with a bunch. I basically responded and was like, one, yes, of course. Two, you know, I'm trying to like do music all the time. And if you guys ever need really fast, quick, funny songs, like, let me know. And from there, he suggested, he's like, well, initially he was like, yeah, we'll definitely do something. And then a couple weeks later, he was like, hey, Trump's tweets have been especially emo this evening. Do you think you could turn them into like an early 2000s emo, like pop punk type song? And like, I was a big time like Blink 182 fan in middle school. I had like the Tom DeLonge Fender Strat like still in my closet that I hadn't touched in 10 years. And I just like, I felt like it was like a calling from God. I just like rushed to my computer and recorded and wrote this song as quickly as I could. And that is pretty much how the wheels got moving at Super Deluxe. That kind of was like the first in like, I don't know what you'd call it, like a series of those styles of taking other people's words and turning them into songs like out of context. The emo Trump kind of set the framework, but I think the Alex Jones was the first time I was working with video as well. And then that kind of became its own thing.
Yeah, we had Vic on the show, I guess it was like a month or so ago. It's just, I just need to like rename the show All Roads Go Back to Tim Heidecker.
Yeah, for real.
So you made these videos, like I said, the Alex Jones one is really funny. I still see that passed around to this day, like when I go on Facebook and I'm like, oh, my grandma found this, but it's
yeah, right. I know,
but,
man.
You know, since then, you've been kind of doing it independently. Would that be like the right way to put it? I see you kind of self-publishing a lot of this stuff now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Super Deluxe, as you probably know, shuttered in late 2018, I think. So I had a good solid years of doing work pretty consistently for them. And that it got to the point by the end where that was like my full-time gig, essentially. And then I was in this really weird position where they shut down, and it was like I had started this career that I had. It's not like I could go apply anywhere else and do the work that I was doing for Super Deluxe. And any company that was like similar to what they were doing, they were kind of like a last man standing. So it was really just, and I think Vic was in a very similar position where it was like, how do we figure out to take this thing we've been doing, continue to monetize it? And it was really tricky for a minute. Luckily, the producer I was working with at Super Deluxe moved to Netflix, and that's how I sort of started doing freelance stuff for Netflix's social teams. But I guess it was in July of 2020, at the height of the pandemic, I finally decided to start attaching my face to the songs. I feel like there was a hesitancy for a while just because like comedy was not something that I pursued in any legitimate way. It was like, you know, just because of that weird sequence of events, it just kind of fell into my lap. And it was like, I was always a musician first. And then I kind of like learned, found my comedic voice working through all that Super Deluxe stuff. And something during the pandemic just I just like didn't care anymore and was like, I just need to or have to do this. And it was like immediate. People were so into it. Like the I Want to Be at the RNC was the one that just went like super viral, and it was timed, and it wasn't, you know, intentional, because I couldn't have known that this was going to happen. But like I released it like the minute Don Jr. started giving his speech, and he was like so red faced and like coked out, and it's all anyone was talking about. And it was like the minute I tweeted my song, and like we're acting the exact same right, way. And yeah. I think for that reason, it sort of just like became this thing. And my followers took off. I had like, you know, some pretty huge comedians reaching out and saying they really liked it. I had Saturday Night Live had reached out and asked me to submit a tape, and like obviously that didn't work out, but it was like so many things right after the other that it was like, okay, this feels like a green light that maybe this is where I should be focusing my attention, that like I just kind of started trying this thing, and I've already like found more success in a couple weeks than I have like just doing like normal music. And I, of course, I'm going to continue to do quote unquote normal music. And I've, you know, had like a massive amount of people that come to know the comedy stuff and like find an appreciation for the other stuff I do. So it's been great, man. It's like a snake eating its own tail in a way.
I feel like you kind of take on this character in the videos yeah. and the music that you're putting out under your own, you know, face name on your Twitter. You've got like Dan Bongino in the mix, who is, I don't understand how this guy has fans. He's like, he looks like a fucking Minecraft character, and he's just like has a vein bulging, and he's just looking down the barrel of a camera, screaming at people all day. Yeah, and I can't imagine watching that and being like, wow, thanks for that information, Dan.
Right, right.
I trust this guy.
It's wild.
How do you get inspiration for this kind of extended universe that is, you know, coming to make up your songs, whether it's like bringing in the Gremlins, there's was like the whole Spirit Halloween thing that continues to evolve, you know, living in grandma's basement with a creepy guy under the stairs. Like it's, you know, like where are these influences coming from?
Yeah, well, you know, you kind of listed like all of the different tent poles of what I'm doing, and they're all pretty different. I think starting with like Dan Bongino specifically comes from a place of like a similar reaction. What you just had is like, how does anyone take this guy seriously? And that like almost like frustration, that anger of not being able to work out, like, can no one else see what a clown show this is? And like, the sweaty version of myself was kind of born out of that. It's like, let me like put a funhouse mirror to house ridiculous you look. And that was really kind of like the big bang of all this, and it, especially the politically tinged ones. Like it's always like through my absurd fandom of this person, I'm gonna show you how silly the people that actually put this person on a pedestal is. But like I also just like genuinely love like ridiculous absurd, like obviously I'm a big fan of Tim Heidecker and Vic Berger and comedy of that ilk. So I think that's kind of where like my inclinations toward the more absurd come from. And yeah, man, I guess, you know, I started off actually, you know what, the I Want to Be at the RNC was the first video where I got like really red faced and sweaty. And
take us through your method, the red and sweaty.
Yeah, well, actually it's kind of like a new in my newest video, oh man, it's over there. I have a little like a fabric steamer. Are you familiar with those?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The first couple times I did it, I really was trying to do like, you know, push ups, pull ups, like sprinting, but I realized it wouldn't last. Like, I was just really, really exasperated and it wouldn't hold up. So, one of the first additions was some good old fashioned petroleum jelly that I'll smear on my face, and then I get the steamer a couple inches from my face to get that real red, wet look. And sometimes I use coconut oil, which is
it's a big thing of coconut oil.
It's a lot of coconut oil. This stuff is actually it wipes it, like Vaseline is harder to wipe off. This stuff like cleans off really easily, but it's like just so gross and gets everywhere. It's all over my guitar.
You know, as far as the inspiration goes, you end up inspired this whole like funhouse mirror back to reality type thing. Then how does the songwriting process start? Because it seems like a lot of your songs kind of start, you know, like happy-go-lucky, and like as they go on longer and longer, come unglued a bit. Like, how do you write a song like that?
You know, well, I guess what I was kind of getting at a little bit a second ago is like the RNC was the first one that kind of like I started to build this world, but the first one that I did in general was a song about Chrissy Teigen unfollowing me. I did that song on like the same day that that video where Trump released the, or he didn't release it, but like it was the Fox News clip of the man, person, woman, camera. What do you know? You know what I'm talking about? He said it over and over again, and it was like I was sitting with that footage, and I was trying to turn that into a song, similar to what I was doing like at Super Deluxe, like just like repurposing other people's like sound bites and clips or whatever. And like it was just so boring, and I was, and plus like, you know, I used to get paid to do it, and now to like do it for free was just like so uninspired, and it just got so old. And like I guess Chrissy Teigen followed me when I did some dumb like emo Trump thing forever ago, and I just noticed that day that she had unfollowed me. So like it was just this like really weird rogue moment of like I'm gonna write about this instead today. And like people were into it, so then from that moment it was like, okay, from now on whenever I have free time, I'm just gonna like sit down and find, like, try to lock into, like, a current event or whatever is, like, really driving me crazy that day and just write a song. And, like, it was very liberating because, like, the last album I did that wasn't, like, a comedy album is called Swords. Like, I started writing it, like, late 2015 and worked on it for, like, 4 years and, like, was, like, constantly, like, reworking the instrumentation and the arrangements and the lyrics and the mix and all these different elements and, like, you know, I'm really happy with how it turned out, and I'm proud of it, but it was, like, cool to do these songs for the internet and, like, set these limitations that were, like, okay, I'm going to write, record, produce, shoot a video, and release a song and a video on Twitter before I go to bed. And it was, like, every move is going with my first instinct, and then putting out in the world and having people, like, really enjoy it was just a message of, hey, sometimes you just got to go with your gut and not overthink it too much. And that really has been like the biggest like North Star I try to keep when I'm working on these things is like just sit down and do it. Like, cause you know, I've wasted so many years creatively with writer's block, just being like, oh, it's not happening today. I guess maybe tomorrow. And then, you know, I play Skyrim or find something else
to do. Right.
And I just kind of realized that, like, forcing yourself to do the work, eventually, like, the inspiration comes through the work. Hasn't let me down yet.
I want to kind of go a little bit broader here. I think you have an experience with the internet that is probably fairly unique to most people's. I think that's fair to say.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, I kind of want to get your thoughts, I guess, more broadly about like politics and the internet, because that's kind of where this show sits. And I think the running theory on the show is that the internet has been terrible for politics. And then the counter theory to that is that the internet just showed us, like, made it easier to find out how awful politics always was. So I'm curious, like, how you understand that relationship and sort of maybe where you see your music fitting into that equation somehow.
You know, like, I do think my work with Super Deluxe kind of forced me to, like, be so online, because it was, like, that's how I, like, made my living, and probably in a similar way of you hunting a story or whatever else. Like, it's, like, I'm waiting for this thing to happen and then pounce on that, like, immediately. So, like, I think the whole, you know, first 2 years of the Trump administration, it, like, was just, like, so damning to my psyche, because it was just like something every day. Yeah, and I think that hasn't gone away. Like, I'm still very much like glued to the discourse and current events and whatever else, waiting for that spark of inspiration. And yeah, I definitely don't love it. At the same time, like, it's given me, you know, a career, so it is a weird dichotomy a little bit. But yeah, dude, it's just insane how divisive it's got. Like, it seems to just like continue to sink to like lower lows constantly. And one thing that like is kind of crazy too, I just did this 2021 song, which is basically just like a look back at all the worst things of this year. You know, so many of the comments are like, oh my God, it's the worst year ever. It can't get any worse, blah, blah, blah. And I was thinking, I was like, I did a song like this for Super Deluxe in 2017. And I remember feeling the exact same way then. And I don't really even know what to take away from that. And just that it, like, looking back at, you know, pandemic, it does feel like definitely a sea change. And it does seem like you go back to that song I did in 2017. It's like, oh, just wait, buckle up. You don't even know
right,
what's coming.
Right.
But like, it does seem like it's just like, if you're paying attention, you're going to be depressed, like, period.
Yeah.
And maybe that was how, that's how it's always been, you know, like, and maybe just the internet has made it that much more obvious. I really don't know.
Just personally, like, sometimes I find myself kind of swirling the drain mentally of like, we're screwed. This isn't getting better. We're past the point of no return. And then other days I feel like pretty optimistic and hopeful that maybe it won't be like this forever, or maybe like we'll reach a point at some point where people will be forced to care and then we'll start to fix things. Like, has the despair got to you, I guess? Like, I imagine like music is a way to kind of cope with it to some degree.
Yes.
But how are you doing, Nick?
Yeah, right. Have I sunken into the depths of despair? I mean, definitely. I feel like the last time that I really felt a sense of hope, and this probably sounds insane, was on January 6th after the insurrection. Like, I was just so like filled with rage, and I remember thinking, but this, at least there's nowhere to go from here. Like, what, like, at least we can, they can look at what their enabling has done and see, like, you know, what has come of it, and they have to own it, and things can only get better from here because they see what happens when you do things this way. And then it was like, you know, just a few weeks later that you had Tucker Carlson like defending the insurrectionists, and like, of course, now all this time later, he literally just did a full documentary on it. It's just like, well, duh, he's going to do that. But I remember thinking for a little bit like, oh, there's no way they can even attempt to defend this. There's just no way. And of course, just like everything, they just wiggled their way out of it. And it's like, I do remember feeling like a sense of like, this is the final nail in the coffin of all things Trump and like this ideology. And yeah, man, I think music is like, especially my record Swords that I mentioned earlier, it's kind of a concept album, even though it wasn't intended to be. It's all very much relating of like the Trump era and what life was like. And it wasn't like I sat down to like write that kind of album. It's just that like my head was so engulfed in it through, like, as I said, like doing the Super Deluxe word, like having to pay such close attention, having that magnifying glass on it. Like, it was just like kind of, you know, driving me nuts. And it was like very therapeutic to write a lot of those songs. And it's really therapeutic to do a lot of the silly stuff I'm doing on Twitter now too. But I also have a 6-month-old daughter, and like, I kind of find myself checking out a little bit. Like, I had an aunt ask me like, oh my gosh, does it not just make you just like so like frantic and scared about the state of the world and scared for her? And I was like, I've been feeling that for the past 5 years. And if anything, now I'm kind of looking at this small human and a little bit being like, this is all that matters. Like, and this is kind of where I'm going to focus my attention. And like, that's been a bit of relief, even though obviously there are all the horrors of like, yeah, what does the world hold for her? But it's also just kind of like realizing like, I can only do what I can for me and my family. So
no, that makes total sense. Total sense. And I also felt the same way after January 6th that, you know, looking back, it's almost kind of embarrassing, right? To be like, okay, you know, nobody can look at this and like not understand what it is. And then,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
just saying that out loud today feels so ridiculous. But
I know, man, it's wild.
Oh, anyway, I mean, at this point, your audience for your music, you mentioned like when you did the like RNC stuff, you got followed by a bunch of like big comedians and that sort of thing. I see your videos passed around a lot by like journalists and researchers like myself, you know, who are getting a kick out of them. When you started making music, did you ever think that would be your audience, is like a bunch of fucking lanyards and nerds in DC?
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, yeah, it's wild, dude. Like, it's so crazy to think like where things have ended up, but I'm thrilled just to be able to like be creative and make a living in music, just because it's such a kind of dinosaur career to do it just like the old way and be successful, especially doing the, you know, the kind of music that I enjoy doing. Like, so yeah, man, it's definitely not what I could have imagined in a million years, but like, I'm still like so pumped and excited by it. Like, I was telling my wife the other day, like, I wonder what my, like, I don't know, 10-year-old, 15-year-old, 20-year-old version of me's reaction would be if you're like, hey, this is what you're going to do for a living, and you are going to be able to like play shows and sell out shows and like make a living doing music, but this is what you'll be doing. Like, I wonder, I hope that I would have been stoked. Like, yeah, okay, I couldn't have guessed that, but awesome. And I hope there wouldn't be any sense of like, you sold out, dude. You blew, like, I don't know.
You sold out to Big Bon Gino.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, Big Bon Gino. Parodying left wing versus right wing stuff. I asked Vic Berger about this too.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you watch any Vic Berger video and you get deep enough, like, in the comment section on YouTube, it's people being like, oh, why don't you make videos about Biden? And it's like,
every video I do is the exact same thing.
Like, you definitely, I think, parody more right wing stuff, but does that have to do with the subject material or your own personal politics? I mean, like, at least personally, like, from my own perspective, what's happening on the right right now is just so fucking absurd. Like, you have to laugh or you'll cry. That always aims me that direction, but I'm curious sort of how you think about it.
Totally. I mean, you hit the nail on the head 100%. Like, yes, it's my own personal politics that influence that view. Like, but it's like,
look,
it's
at
just
this
like,
shit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And the one thing that has really bugged me is like this video lampooning Tucker Carlson or whoever automatically is a defense of Joe Biden, like he is infallible and can do no wrong. And it's like, no, like, I don't know. Like, that's the thing that's really frustrating. And it's like, just because I'm not making fun of Biden as much as I'm making fun of anyone else doesn't mean I'm his cheerleader and I think he's doing an incredible job or whatever else. Like, it's he's not so over the top ridiculous that I can't help but just feel this like burning sensation, like I need to make fun of this because like I don't know how anyone could take this seriously. Like, that really is where it comes from. And also it's cooled off a lot, but I think last year there really was a feeling of like, you know, I'm not, you know, so excited to vote for Joe Biden, but like, I don't want to freaking like critique him and then look like that I'm, I just don't want to be affiliated with the other side whatsoever. Does that make sense? Like, it's, I don't know. Like,
you don't want the Glenn Greenwald retweet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah. And it's tricky, man, because it's like, I don't know. Like, it's not, I don't know. Honestly, there hasn't been a whole lot that I've been super inspired. Like, you know, he's had gaffes and whatever, but nothing that's just been like so hilarious. Like, the things I get in the comments is, you know, like if either it's like Afghanistan or another example of just someone on the left is when Alec Baldwin accidentally shot those people. And it's like, when are you going to do the Alec Baldwin song? And it's like, oh yeah, because that's such a hilarious situation. Yeah. He accidentally murdered two people. Like, what do you think my spin on that is going to be? Like,
yeah, it is frustrating. And I mean, at some point you just have to ignore those people, but I imagine it can get like pretty annoying over time. Like, that's the prevalent emotion. It's just like, like if a fly is buzzing in your face, you're like, get out of here, man.
The funniest part of it is like, I do some really dumb songs that aren't remotely political, especially recently. Like, I did a song about being haunted by the ghost of Ernest P. Worrell. And you have people in the comments that are like, you're afraid to mock Biden, and it's pathetic. It's, dude, you're commenting on a freaking Gremlins song, or a freaking, like, Brendan Fraser is back song. Like, it's like, read the room. What are you talking about? Like, why is this even relevant right now? Like,
so what's next for you? Do you have anything big on the horizon?
Yeah, dude, I have a couple things in the works that I can't really, I'm hoping they're like right on the cusp of being able to announce. I'm hoping to, I had some cool opportunities this year. I wrote some music for an Old Spice ad with Mike Diva that was really cool. And we did another thing for another brand that hasn't come out, and I don't know if I'm really allowed to talk about it, but like, I've been dipping my toes into the world of film and television, and have a handful of projects in the works that I'm so anxious and excited to talk about, but really don't have any more information other than that just as of now. The big thing that I'm doing right now is I just launched a vinyl campaign, which is a collection of all the songs I did for Twitter this year. And it's kind of like, you know, I started doing these in the middle of the pandemic last year. I did an album at the end of last year, and then I did all these songs this year and just released this album. And it's kind of signifying like, okay, we're going to put a pen in this like sweaty internet character guy and like do some other things for a minute, rather than like consciously churn out another album worth of songs in 2022.
Cool. Well, I will link to that vinyl campaign in the description, as well as your Twitter, Nick, where people can go check out the music.
Thanks, dude. Awesome.
So, Nick, I've really enjoyed talking to you about music and stuff. It's a little,
yeah,
it's a little bit more fun than the conversations I sometimes have on this show.
Yeah, I can imagine.
But it is this show. This is my show, damn it. Which means you have to answer the final question that every guest gets. What's your favorite thing on the internet right now?
My favorite thing on the internet, can I name like a few different things rather than just like give a champion?
Yeah, go for it.
Just because it's like, I think the season finale is this week, tomorrow actually, on Cinema. I don't know if you watch on Cinema, but obviously I told you Tim Heidecker brought me into this world of, you know, online comedy, and he really just is the king of it. What they've done this season has been so consistently hysterical, and they everything is like, now they used to do it all on like Adult Swim's YouTube channel. Now they have this website, The High Network, and it's all like crowdfunded, and it's so interactive and immersive. And I mean, anyone who like is a fan of theirs and halfway pays attention to what I'm doing knows that I kind of have ripped off that approach of like having a character that like lives within this world, but also interacts like via social media and like different forms. Like, I just love the way they kind of like, they have a YouTube series, and then they have a TV show, and then they have a podcast, and they have a book. They have all these different things that kind of communicate with each other, and it's really creative and awesome and fun. And of course, Vic is doing really cool stuff with Vice. He's been putting out, like, I think it's called Into the Void, the series he's been doing. Of course, you know all about that. And I guess the last person I'll shout out is Brielle Garcia. Is if you saw my most recent Spirit Halloween Planet music video, she did all of the computer animation. Like, I'm so ignorant in how you talk about it, but she directed that video, and she's like an AR artist, I guess. And she does a lot of like Snapchat filters and crazy. She's just like an insane like virtual augmented reality artist, and her Twitter feed is super fascinating, and she does really cool work.
Well, Nick, thanks for coming on Shitpost.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun. Where can people keep up with you and what you're up to?
At Nick Lutzko, Twitter, Instagram are probably the two most prominent places. I'm also on Patreon, so if you're like a super fan and you're not already aware of that, I'm trying to, you know, post a few times a week with lots of like behind the scenes stuff, and it's fun.
That was my conversation with Nick Lutzko. Check out links to all his stuff in the description of this episode. This has been Jared Holt. I'll see you in the new year.